You've attempted a strong arm. God damn it. Strong arm. Son of a bitch.
Strong arm.
I know.
Strong arm.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another pointless, wasted Saturday night. Yes, I've been watching classic Star Trek Cat.
My God.
My dog. So, as you can hear, the cat is with me.
So is a dog. So, yes, I'm here. Yeah. I would be the only other one.
Well, and because Charlie was supposed to be with us this week. He was supposed to be back because he was unfired, remember? But right. But then he couldn't log on to his computer because his monitor wouldn't turn on. And we're like, that's not an excuse to not be here just because you can't see what you're clicking on.
I just think his blindness is a sign of his weakness.
Or he's just smoked way, way too much dope.
I mean, either way.
The Adam and Eve promo this week is actually going to seg into our first story. Guys, go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code WHAT, and you would get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you order. 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. All for using the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. Now, for this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Kat, we're going to be talking about 50 Shades of Grey. You see how that plays into the Adam and Eve thing? The Adam and Eve toys are there for safe sex play. Did you see the article about how ever since 2007, when 50 Shades of Grey, the books were first printed, and that sex toy injuries have gone up a whopping 83%?
Well, can't be unseen.
But did you see how bad this is actually getting with the movie coming out the week that we're recording this? Emergency rooms are using those numbers to say, we are waiting to see how many people try the stuff in the movie and that we have to remove. They actually know. You are so stupid out there, you can't use sex toys safely. Emergency rooms are ready for you. They're actually going to have, I'm not joking, a special form for foreign body removals. Because of how many they're expecting in emergency rooms. What does that say about the American populace that it happened in a movie, so we'll try it?
But we're not going to Google on how to do it safely because I don't want that on my browser.
Flared ends, people. Flared ends. If it ain't got a flare, it don't belong there. I think this says something bad about America in general. After 50 Shades of Grey, before 50 Shades of Grey, the general populace, they knew what BDSM was. But then after it's in a really, really terrible book and now movie, they're willing to try it, but they're not willing to Google how to do it safely. I don't know. That disturbs me a little bit.
Well, it's this idea that everybody thinks they can be an expert on something because they saw it in a movie. You know, I watched an episode of CSI, so I could totally do forensic evidence and stuff like that. We see something in a movie and we're like, yeah, I'm on top of this. I know what I'm doing. I saw it in a movie once.
Here's some disturbing numbers. The National Electronic Injury Surveillance System has been logging, quote, foreign body removals since 1991. Throughout the entirety of the 1990s, every year was under 500 removals. Then a little spike in the early 2000s. After 50 Shades of Grey came out, between 2,000 and 200, 2,500 per year. As the movie's coming out already this year, just in anticipation of the movie, there's been almost 1,000 so far. People, stop sticking things up your butt that don't go there. It's a movie. They have safety precautions in a movie.
See, I wonder how much of this has specific to do with the book and the movie itself. And, like, we live in an era, even more so than even 10 years ago, where information is readily available. And people can go look up stuff and more product is available and you can, say, order it online instead of having to go into a store. This sort of thing, like the toys and everything, are way more available to us now than they were, you know, even a decade ago.
And you could go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code WHAT to make them available to you.
Exactly. So it stands to reason that there probably would be more, you know, as time goes on because... people now are learning more about it and people can talk more about it. It's more available to them. It can't all just be one author's fault.
I don't know. I like to blame E.L. James for this because her book is fucking terrible. It really is god-awful.
Well, I mean, her book is Twilight fan fiction, so whatever.
People have their fetishes, right? Well, yeah. Apparently in Oregon, you can now take upskirt photos of underage girls, and it's not illegal. A 61-year-old man was found that he did nothing illegal when he was snapping upskirt photos of a 13-year-old in a clothing store, a Target to be specific, in the clothing department. The judge said there is no law on the books making this illegal. He almost blamed the victim that how did she not see this happen? She could have stopped it. He almost blamed the victim on this. Not quite. This 61-year-old pervert didn't do anything wrong.
What kind of society do we live in where we, more than any other crime that you could possibly commit, we demonize pedophilia. More than murder, we demonize pedophilia. And how can, in a society like that, we make it okay to take pictures of underage girls? Non-consensual, what the fuck?
I think it's because the fact that there was no specific law against it in Oregon. Now, Wisconsin and Massachusetts are the only two states that have it as, right now it's a misdemeanor, but they're trying to make it a felony. Otherwise, most of the 50 states, it's not even illegal. Okay, upskirts I think should be illegal anyway, but to do it to a child? That's even worse.
That's disgusting.
You know, you're a goddamn pervert, and this fucking asshole, Patrick Buono, is celebrating the fact that he, you know, technically did nothing wrong. This fucking pervert, the girl is now 14, she's pissed about this, I think rightfully so. Because, I mean, you know this motherfucker's going to go on the internet and share his upskirt photos, especially now that the judge said they're legal.
You're sexually exploiting a child. How is this not, you know, somewhere dancing along that thin line towards pornography?
I think it is pornography, especially if she wasn't wearing underwear. He absolutely saw underage cooch. And I think that should be illegal no matter how it happens.
Well, was she wearing underwear? Do we know that?
It did. The article we were reading from the Daily Coast didn't mention, but I don't think that's relevant. I think the upskirt, whether they have underwear on or not, it's still the same crime as far as I'm concerned.
Because it was like, it should be, I think, considered some form of pornography.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. How about something else that is going into a disturbing area? What kind of TV do you have, Kat? Do you have a Samsung?
No, I have a Sharp because I got cheap when I wanted to buy a TV.
And you work at a Best Buy, no less.
I know, but we got a really good discount. I saved like $600.
People that have the new Samsung Smart TVs, they have a bug in their house. The new Samsung Smart TVs will actually, Samsung is telling you not to discuss sensitive information in front of it because it will record that and send it to, quote, third-party dealers. These new smart TVs, people, what they're there for is to make specific targeted ads towards you. So these new smart TVs, a lot of them are voice activated. So you would say like, TV, channel 2, and it would go to channel 2. Or TV, find Game of Thrones. It would find, you know, Game of Thrones on demand or something for you. It's voice activated. And then what they would do is they'll try and shape ads to you. You say Pepsi all the time, they'll try and angle more Pepsi ads towards you. And that's already happened in Australia. People accidentally got their new Samsung TVs. They got Pepsi commercials for every single one, every single commercial break, because in Australia, there was a glitch where it was sending the same ad through everything instead of the targeted ads. So they're saying don't discuss anything private, social security numbers, or anything like that in front of your new smart TV because it might be transmitted to somebody else. My question to you, Kat, is why would you willingly buy one of these knowing that it's there to spy on you?
You have to be really, really, really lazy to want a TV with voice recognition. Bear in mind, this really isn't that many TV models that actually do this. But yeah, if you are too lazy to pick up the remote, then you deserve to have your shit stolen or to have targeted ads or whatever. Like, seriously, just fucking use a remote.
Well, remember in the book 1984 how they monitored you through your TV? Aren't we almost there now?
Well, I mean, we are certainly the architects of our own demise with technology. Although I really don't understand how this is any different than, say, Xbox, because doesn't Xbox do the same thing?
They did until so many people complained. Yeah, they so many people complained about it that Microsoft removed that feature. Otherwise, it was, quote, always on and always monitoring. Kat, hopefully your Sharp TV won't start listening to you. This also has a different effect to it. This wasn't found by some muckraker or some tech journalist. Samsung told you this before it hit the shelves. That tells me that there's something more up with this, because a company does not announce that kind of shit of their own volition, do they? You got to think that's going to hurt sales.
Well, honestly, I don't know a single person that has a voice recognition TV. And bear in mind, I work at a place that sells TVs. I honestly don't know a single person who has one. But at least they have the decency to admit it.
Or they're trying to end run on any kind of lawsuits that are coming from it.
Yeah, that could be.
Well, let's talk about one other kind of bullshit here. And I almost mean that literally. Red Bull, they're not suing. They're basically trying to block Virginia's Old Ox Brewery from getting a trademark on Old Ox beer. Did you read this one?
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
What Red Bull's case is, Old Ox is too close to Red Bull, even though the drinks are totally different. According to one of the statements in their brief is, quote, "An ox and a bull both fall within the same class of bovine animals and are virtually indistinguishable to most consumers. In addition, an ox is a castrated bull," unquote. So they're trying to say, we own bovine-related drinks. Old Ox and Red Bull can easily be confused by the public.
I really, really don't think that they can be confused, but okay.
Chris Burns of Old Ox Brewery sent the most awesome letter in response to this to Red Bull. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's a little bit long, but you need the whole thing. This letter is awesome, Kat. "Hey, Red Bull, you seem pretty cool. You sponsor snowboarders, adventure racers, rock climbers, and motocross bikers. You launch people into space so they can skydive back to Earth. That's all really darn cool. For all I know, you're reading this while strapping yourself into a Formula One race car that is about to be lit on fire and jumped over a huge chasm of some sort. How cool would that be? Feel free to give it a try. Here's the thing, though. You are being extremely uncool to us at Old Ox Brewery. We are a small startup brewery in Ashburn, Virginia. We're family-run, we love beer, and we love our community. For reasons that we cannot understand, you've attempted to strong-arm us into changing our identity for the last 10 months because you believe folks might mistake Old Ox beer for Red Bull energy drinks. We respectfully disagree. The only similarity between our two products is that they are both liquids. You make non-alcoholic but very extreme energy drinks. We make delicious but laid-back beer. Our consumers are looking for two distinctly different experiences from our respective products. Basically, you are holding us hostage with a list of demands that, if agreed to, would severely limit our ability to use our brand. Demands like never use the color red, silver, or blue, never use red with any bovine term or image, and never produce any soft drinks. Do you own the color red? How about fuchsia, scarlet, crimson, or mauve? Are you planting your flag in the color wheel and claiming those shades of Red Bull? Do you claim exclusive rights to all things bovine? Do you plan to herd all heifers, cows, yaks, buffalo, bison, and steer into your intellectual property corral too? When we refused to succumb to your demands, you responded by filing a formal opposition to not just our trademark, but to the very name Old Ox Brewery. Way to step on our American dream. You say you are protecting your intellectual property rights, but your claim, in our opinion, is red bullshit." I liked that, by the way. "We can only interpret your actions as one thing, bullying. You are a big red bully, just like that mean kid from grade school pushing everyone down on the playground and giving us post-gym class wedgies. You are giving us one hell of a corporate wedgie. We don't appreciate it, and we sure as hell don't deserve it. Is this what you're really about? Are you a bully? Your extensive marketing campaigns, your glitzy advertising, your sponsored sports events, and your death-defying stunt shows certainly don't project that image. Take a hard look at your, quote, case. Can you honestly look at our brand and say, is this a threat to my image? We don't think you can. Given that, we repeat our offer. We agree never to produce energy drinks. In exchange, we are asking for one simple thing. Leave us alone. Drop the trademark lawsuit. The only people benefiting are the lawyers. Sincerely and uninfringingly yours, Chris Burns, Old Ox Brewery." Kat, that was a fantastic fuck you letter done in just the right passive-aggressive tone, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fairly professional, all things considered, because I don't know about you, but I would have had much stronger words for Red Bull, and I thought they did it remarkably well.
Only time they got really over-the-top snarky was the red bullshit line.
That was pretty clever, though.
I think Red Bull is basically, he's right, they're being bullies. There is zero chance of anyone going, Old Ox Brewery beer, Red Bull energy drinks, totally the same thing, right? And Old Ox doesn't even have a bovine anything on their bottles. Their logo is an O with an X through it. How is this a threat to Red Bull at all?
It's not. I don't understand why Red Bull is doing this, because I really don't think they have a legal case at all.
All this does is make Red Bull look stupid.
Like, normally I could see, like, you want to protect your trademark, so if something sounds kind of like something or could be mistaken for something, then, yeah, you should stick up for your trademark, even if you know you're going to lose because you have to do it. Otherwise, the next time when a more serious threat comes around, and they're like, well, why didn't you protect your trademark then? Okay, I guess you don't care that much, blah, blah, blah. Normally on the show, I would say something like that, but this has nothing to do with Red Bull at all. There's no way a competent human being, even an incompetent human being, could possibly mistake Old Ox beer for Red Bull. And seriously, are you going to have to, like, get kind of wrapping the knuckles of, like, say, the Laughing Cow milk or something like that? Like, are you just going to start laying claim to all things bovine?
You usually are the voice of reason when it comes to the trademark stuff. You know how I feel about intellectual property and the bullshit surrounding it. And you're usually the one that comes in with reality to set me straight. And even this one, you can't back.
I really can't. It really, there is no justification for it. There just isn't.
No, there isn't. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I think it's an abuse of privilege, and it's an abuse of corporate authority. That's what I'm sick of corporate bullying. I'm sick of it.
It really is one thing to protect your image, but to go to somebody else whose business in no way affects yours and go, you can't do that because I said so. It really is just fucking ridiculous. The mentality that goes behind there is no logic to it. There really isn't. You can't make soft drinks. Well, great, we don't make soft drinks, so there you go.
We'll be right back.
Hart is still in Chicago this week, so I got another angry curmudgeon friend of mine. Pete Chirillo is with me. How you doing, Pete?
Oh, just wonderful. What's a curmudgeon? Is it something you fucking spread on toast?
No, I think that would be a cum-udgeon.
Oh, cum-udgeon. Okay, yes. Yeah, that's what the porn people do. Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, the weird part is there's good, there's bad. I just started actually acting in a fucking movie that was shot in sub-zero temperatures last week that pretty much froze my fucking balls off, but that's another story. It's going to be good. It should work out. It's, you know, it's going to showcase some local talent around here that deserves to be showcased. But, you know, that's the positive shit. If you like working in weather that was actually so fucking cold that my switchblade would not open. That's how cold it was.
Pete,
for one scene.
Pete, I was a boom op on an Eric Roberts movie called Project Solitude. 80% outdoor shots, shot in Wisconsin in December in what turned out to be the coldest winter in Wisconsin's history. Yeah. I know what you went through.
I know. I still can't feel my balls. Be that as it may, what's bugging me this week? There's a lot of shit bugging me. We had a conversation before we went off the air about, you know how everybody says this 1% of the rich and stuff like that? Sadly, this 1% is insinuating itself into things that we know and love. And one of the things that they're insinuating themselves is into the porn business. I'm not going to mention the company's name because these companies make a lot of money by suing guys like me for mentioning their name when they'll say slander and shit like that. The bottom line is there are two or three retro porn companies out there. One's been around for a long, long time. And my issue with them is that they never earn their fucking money, the people that are running these things now. This was handed down to them by mommy and daddy. They honestly have no fucking clue what it is to actually go out and get their hands dirty for a living, but they have the money to go into these huge warehouses and take all kinds of film prints out and then claim ownership on stuff that's pretty much public domain. And if you make the mistake of putting something out that they're putting out, they'll go after you like fucking rabid fucking wolves after blood. And like I say, it's foolish of me to mention any company's names because, number one, I'm giving them publicity that I don't want to. And number two, they will sue me, you, and anybody else who fucks with them until we can't stand up when we're out in the fucking cold. If anybody thinks that the 1% is only limited to like these corporate scumbags and shit like that, the offspring of the 1% are even worse because, like I say, they have no idea what it is to work for a living. They were handed everything on a little silver fucking spoon, which sucks.
Well, when it comes to the retro porn stuff, you know, that's where you made your bones, really, no pun intended. That market, is it really that cutthroat today, the whole retro porn angle?
Yeah, well, you have to realize something. When you look at porn films, what has held up? Only the shit from the 70s. Because that's where it started. Deep Throat, Devil and Miss Jones, Debbie Does Dallas, Insatiable, Behind the Green Door. These are all high-profile porn films that have held up over the years and are still in demand and are still selling. And they're still getting good money for them. So yeah, naturally, the money people are going to gravitate to these things. But, you know, personally, I have pulled a lot of shit out of a fucking dumpster that would have been thrown away. You know, some of the stuff I released. Granted, it's not as well done is the stuff they're doing because I don't have the millions of dollars backing me that they do to restore the things properly. But I think, you know, working with alternative cinema and shit, we've done a fairly decent job over the years. And unfortunately, that is the reason that we never got into adult stores is because these fucking people, and I have it from a very reliable source, that we were frozen out because the attitude was if you take their stuff, you're not going to get mine. And being that they have a huge catalog of shit, who are they going to go with? Me with 15, 20 titles, or somebody with a couple hundred titles? Obviously, the answer is they're going to go with the guy with 100 titles. So that has successfully kept me from making a living, and it keeps getting worse and worse.
That's kind of what Marvel Comics did in the 1990s. They flooded the market with so much product that they said, if you allow the independents into the comic stores, then you don't get the Marvel stuff anymore. And obviously, yeah. Wolverine and Spider-Man and that, no comic store can make it without selling that stuff.
Yeah. It's the typical big money pressure fucking push. I know what it is because I know that any indie porn store that I ever went to with my product and my product retailed for $29.95, I'd make a deal with them just to get the shit in the store, make a couple bucks over what it cost me, and go back and see the thing marked up $5 more than it should be, and it's still fucking selling. So that tells me two things. One, there's a demand for it, and two, when it's in there, it will sell. But the problem was always getting into the stores, which is now impossible because of these fucking pricks. And it's not only me. It's any small company. You notice all the small companies are slowly fading away, being squeezed out and shit. That's what's happening.
is it just the retro porn? Because a lot of these companies don't just do the porn stuff. They also deal with, I hate this term now, but the blanket term of grindhouse cinema as well.
Oh yeah. It's all that, because, you know, we were talking before of a movie that basically has been public domain for a good many years. It was Raw Force, and now one company sucked it up, and now they're, you know, rattling fucking people. Hey, you can't put this out. Well, a lot of stuff was put out in a certain way because that's the way it found it. And if you found a lot better of a print, you know, God bless you. It's a great thing. You know, to just strong arm your way onto the market, tell people you can't do this and you can't do that. Hey, you know something? Fuck you. Because most of these internet cocksuckers, you know, especially these enabled ones that mommy and daddy are footing the bills, are a bunch of socially awkward geeks who cannot even make eye contact with you if you have a conversation with them. So I got no use for them. And like I said, if my time is come and gone, so fucking be it. I'll go do something else. But I'm not going to sit here and take it quietly, even though, like I said, I can't mention the company's names because of repercussions. But that's the fucking power they have. They can squeeze little guys out of fucking business and basically, you know, use legal fucking maneuvering to bankrupt people. And that's what they fucking do. That's what corporate assholes always do. You know it and I know it. You've worked for corporations. You know what fucking scumbags they are.
Oh, well, yeah. It's very telling when you work in a corporation that's constantly cutting costs on every floor except the floor of the legal department.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, got to pay those fucking lawyers and shit.
Exactly. So. And I even put it on my Facebook page as a former employer. Instead of putting the actual company I worked for, I put Weyland Yutani because that's the evil ass company I worked for in my mind.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it gets fucking ridiculous. And there's another fucking little issue I want to address. It has nothing to do with entertainment. It has everything to do with what's going on in the world today, and that's ISIS. Now, I remember something I saw in the early days of cable. It might have been, one guy brought it up today, it might have been a thing called The Man Who Saw Tomorrow. It was prophecies and shit. And something that stuck with me was that this guy predicted this ISIS shit, and he said that the head guy would be wearing a purple turban, something I haven't determined yet because you only get so many fucking clips on World News Tonight, which isn't really world news because all they're talking about is the fucking weather instead of the world. The prediction was that this group would come out of the Middle East and be a force to be reckoned with, which they are right now. And the end game scenario was that eventually they would work their way into Russia, get a hold of the Russian missile silos, and fucking nuke America. Now, people may be hearing this and shaking their head and saying it'll never happen. Well, guess what? Nobody ever thought they'd fly planes into the World fucking Trade Center, but they did it anyway. We're dealing with fanatics. We're dealing with well-funded fanatics, who I'd really like to know where the money fucking trail is coming from. And my best guess would be Saudi Arabia, because they're a bunch of shiftless cocksuckers. And being that all the plane pilots in the 9/11 attack were Saudis, I'd say look right there. But of course, we're not going to do that because they're our, quote, friends. But that's the scenario, that they could get into Russia, and basically Russia with Putin is a little fucking unstable. So who the fuck knows what's going to happen? It's fucking scary. And I don't think a lot of people are taking this fucking shit seriously enough. My attitude is go in and fucking waste every fucking one of the motherfuckers and anybody who's harboring them, which may be a little bit extreme. But burning people alive, beheading them, organized rapes, that's fucking more extreme. These people are fucking vermin and they got to be wiped out. This ain't a religion. This is a bunch of fucking psychos exercising their love of fucking killing, torturing, and maiming fucking people. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less.
Assuming the end times don't come in the near future, if people wanted to contact you, where would they do so, Pete?
40deuce@hotmail.com.
Thanks for stopping by, Pete.
Oh, my pleasure always, just come in and stir up some shit. Have a great night, people. Bye.
cat. Charles Manson's in the news again. Did you?
Oh, goody.
Because everyone was all getting bent out of shape when he was going to marry his 27-year-old fiance, Afton Burton, right? You know, she now goes as the name Star. And everyone was like, oh my God, what could they see in each other? I think this is fantastic. Did you see why she actually wanted to marry 53 years older than her and a convicted mass murderer?
Well, I'd assume it would have something to do with really, really, really needing attention, but do go on.
She wanted his corpse. After
she has oddly specific needs.
After they were married, she planned to, a la Stalin's tomb in Russia, how you know people could come and visit the tomb and see Stalin in that clear case. She wanted to put Manson's body on display and charge people in California, Lenin's tomb, not Stalin's tomb, at visit Charles Manson's corpse. That's why she married him. When he found out about this, he says he didn't leave her. Their marriage is on hold. So apparently this was not a deal breaker for him.
Not a total deal breaker. That is really messed up, but kind of funny because, like, I don't think anybody would actually want him. So it sort of makes sense that there was some motive, but for the motive to be that, I think it's just hilarious.
Would you want to pay to go see Charles Manson's corpse after he's dead?
No, I wouldn't marry him either. Like, I have no interest in Charles Manson.
I wonder if Roman Polanski would visit it, though. I think this is funny in the fact that Manson both got used, but the part that rung so true with me was the fact that this was not a deal breaker. That even with Manson, he's kind of like, I don't like this. I don't like being lied to, but maybe we can work something out. I think that's hilarious.
She's not unattractive, and compared to being in prison, it's like, maybe it's okay. Maybe we can make this work.
Well, how about something that shouldn't work? In Los Angeles, now I get that other cultures have different delicacies and they have different food handling standards. What would you do, Kat, if you walked into a grocery store? You're going through the Asian section, you know, maybe you're getting some teriyaki sauce or something, and you see a raccoon with its brains blown out and tongue hanging out, full body, just in a Ziploc bag sitting in your freezer department.
I first off wonder how I ended up in West Virginia.
No, this is Los Angeles.
That's horrifying.
Apparently, freshly killed raccoon is a delicacy in Asia. An Asian supermarket in Temple City has been just catching raccoons, killing them, wrapping them into a bag, and throwing them in the freezer department. Let's just say the FDA has issues with this.
No kidding. I mean, like, raccoons are one of those animals that your parents tell you never to touch because they all have rabies or something. So my natural inclination towards raccoons is not to have anything to do with them.
They're even labeled as, quote, freshly slaughtered raccoons. Literally, all they do is shoot them in the head and then bag them up. So they're in the bag with, you know how when an animal dies, bowels and bladder release? It's all in the bag. It's just, you're getting a raccoon that you didn't have to kill yourself. Apparently, it's a delicacy that sells for $10 a pound. I'm not trying to say Asian cuisine, you are fucked up, but what the fuck, Asia?
That's so weird. And you know what? To each their own, whatever you find delicious is what you find delicious. But I could understand maybe, you know, you want to have raccoon meat, but I'd expect it to be like any other meat, like packaged slices of meat in a freezer section.
Maybe
with
some sort of sanitary standard.
Yeah, like something stamped on it, a sticker that says it was inspected by some FDA-regulated inspection service of any kind.
Can you just go and take an animal that you just killed, especially a game animal, and one that's known to be diseased? There are serious health regulations here. I mean, serious health regulations.
I mean, I guess it's sort of like if... See, I can understand, like, hey, I shot something, I want to eat it, but, like, to sell it is, I think, where you have to be breaking the law somehow. You can, like, shoot a deer and take the deer meat home, and you can give it to your friends and family, but I think as soon as you sell it, it just seems wrong.
There's also a callousness here, too, Kat. the animal, and they, you know, the FDA or the investigators in Los Angeles had video of this. They're just sitting in there with their tongues hanging out. I mean, it's people just walking in the grocery store seeing this, not only leaving out the sanitary part. There's a callousness to that, isn't there?
Well, I mean, it's the meat industry. There's definitely a callousness in all of it, but I don't know that that's a callousness so much as a really, really lack of understanding of what people are looking for in a grocery store, because I would be immediately revolted by that. Like, I'm getting kind of nauseous just thinking about it. And it's sort of like whenever you go into a grocery store, you walk directly into fresh fruits and vegetables. You walk into all these fresh things because that's what a grocery store wants you to walk around the store with, the impression that everything is fresh and it's healthy and all of that. So that's the image that you want to walk into a place that is selling you food. You don't walk into, you know, the dead body section, because then you're going to think, oh my God, this store just sells dead bodies. I'm getting out of here. So like leaving a little animal corpse around, it just sort of sends the wrong impression about what you sell. But I guess maybe it doesn't in this case. The psychological element of it is really, really backwards.
Man, Whole Foods has really let themselves go, huh?
It's disgusting.
Well, speaking of callousness, where do you see John Wilkes Booth, the assassin of Abraham Lincoln? Is he a villain to you, Kat, or is he a hero?
Well, he's kind of a villain. It also depends on if you've read Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, then he's even more of a villain.
Okay, I have not read that, but I'm just talking about the actual John Wilkes Booth and Abraham Lincoln. Well, a neo-Confederate activist, Michael Pirokta, he is trying to get people to celebrate John Wilkes Booth's execution of the tyrant, Abraham Lincoln. And he wants Lincoln's birthday. He said, if we have Lincoln's birthday as a holiday, we should have John Wilkes Booth, because John Wilkes Booth is a hero. Quoting, "The League of the South looks to the present and future. However, from time to time, we do look at our past. This 14th of April will mark the 150th anniversary John Wilkes Booth's execution of the tyrant Abraham Lincoln. The League will, in some form or fashion, celebrate this event. We remember Booth's diary entry, 'Our country owed all her troubles to him, and God simply made me the instrument of his punishment.' A century and a half after the fact, the League of the South thanks Mr. Booth for his service to the South and to humanity." Unquote. Is this not sickening at all?
I don't know. I think it inspires some level of pity, because you have to be really, really crazy. It's just like, why? Stop. The South already has a terrible enough reputation. You just need to do full stop, shut your fucking face, because this just gives the South even worse of a reputation.
John Wilkes Booth is not a hero.
We already think that the South is this backwards, racist, terrible, terrible place. Please stop justifying what we think.
If we're going to go with this logic, is Sirhan Sirhan a hero too?
Well, I mean, I'd assume. Well, see, but did he help the South?
No,
according to this definition, he would not be recognized because he didn't help the South.
Speaking of stupidity from the South, how about we go to Representative Blake Farenthold of Texas? He was asked on television, because this week, President Obama looked for Congress to give him the authorization to officially go in and fight ISIS, okay? Which is something that I think puts the right wing into a bad position, because this is something that they've wanted, but now that Obama's asked for it, they can't very well grant it, right?
Right.
Well, he says, and I'm quoting here, "I'm not a big fan of President Obama's, but he was elected president, so that makes him commander-in-chief. So we need to give him full authority to do what he does. Quite frankly, I think Chuck Norris should be the one to send in, not President Obama." Chuck Norris, an actor. Hey, Blake Farenthold, you do know that those were movies, right? That Chuck Norris is not actually a one-man killing machine?
This just makes me crazy, because they are so dedicated to the idea that anything Obama does must be bad that they'd rather joke around about sending Chuck Norris than have Obama do exactly what they wanted him to do.
Do you think this is part of that disconnect from reality that they have? Because Farenthold said this with an absolute straight face, like he was serious. Like, he really believes Chuck Norris in Invasion USA really blew Richard Lynch up at point blank range with a rocket launcher, you know, because it was in the movie.
No, I don't actually think that this guy thinks that Chuck Norris is actually an action superhero or anything. I think he'd rather send an actor who's famous for roundhouse kicking people into the face than have the president actually run dealing with ISIS.
You people are not taking this seriously, and yet you constantly yell at Obama for not taking this seriously.
Oh, they're not taking it seriously. They're a bunch of assholes, but I don't think they're that dumb.
How about Rob Schneider? Is he that dumb?
Yes, Rob Schneider is that dumb.
Okay, last week, Kat, you and I talked a lot about the anti-vaxxers. They're not laying off. They doubled down. They doubled down on their stupid this week. Rob Schneider is a famous anti-vaxxer. He called State Assemblywoman Loretta Gomez in California and left her. He left her a voicemail message about how if she doesn't back off of her bill to eliminate what she's trying to do is she's trying to eliminate the religious exemption for vaccination. Because right now in California, you can. My religion is against vaccination, so I don't have to get my family vaccinated. She's trying to remove that exemption. So he's saying if she doesn't stop this, he is going to spend all of his money and, quote, star power to make sure she does not get reelected. She laughed her ass off about this.
I would love to see Rob Schneider try and use his star power in order to do anything.
I'm going to quote from Gonzalez. When I called him back, he actually was much nicer to me than on the voicemail. But let's be honest, that is 20 minutes of my life I will never get back, arguing that vaccines don't cause autism with Deuce Bigelow male gigolo. Unquote.
I think it's great that she gets to say that in her life. Like, that's so great, just to be able to say that out loud.
What does this say? I mean, you know, Rob Schneider is now, I will use my star power because he thinks he's right. He thinks that this vaccination bullshit. When you become a superstar, and you know, we might not like it, he was a superstar. His name would sell a million tickets to a movie. Whether we like it or not, that's a superstar. Is it right that they use their, quote, star power to spread misinformation?
Well, in all honesty, it's star power is a it can be a really great thing when celebrities raise and give millions and millions and millions of dollars to a good cause. It's a beautiful thing. It's really great. When famous people use their fame and their wealth in order to spread lies about vaccinations, this is a terrible thing, obviously. Like, it sort of boggles my mind how anybody who is that rich and, well, we know Rob Schneider really hasn't been doing much lately, so he's got to have a lot of free time.
His sitcom lasted eight episodes, Kat.
He did a sitcom?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. See, you didn't even know it. Yeah, he had a new sitcom on CBS.
Exactly.
8 episodes in, gone.
Like, he's got nothing better to do right now. He should be able to take the time to sit down and do some research or even pay somebody to do research for him. There's no reason why people should be this ignorant. There really isn't. Unless you live in, like, say, North Korea where you don't have the internet or something like that, you should not be this ignorant in this day and age.
What about if you're ignorant due to fear-mongering like Fox News does? How about what Fox News guest Jonathan Hoeg said this week, quoting, think about where this could lead if government gets involved in science and medicine. You know, forced sterilizations, forced abortion, forced pills, forced treatments, unquote. He even went on to talk about forced quarantines by the government for made-up diseases. Does fear-mongering count?
Right.
No one on Fox News corrected him, by the way. That in Fox News's mind, if the government makes you get vaccinated, then they're going to make you get abortions, which is something that Fox News is against anyway, so that one's bizarre. Forced sterilizations, again, isn't it? This is just straight out fear-mongering, isn't it? There's no other way to put it. This is fear-mongering.
It is. And honestly, if the president had come out and said, I don't think anybody should be vaccinated, then the Republicans would be out there telling everybody to get vaccinated, and you should get vaccinated for this reason and that reason, and they would have all these great reasons why you should get vaccinated. But no, they have to go and spread their fear-mongering around so that people will be afraid, and then they'll come to Fox News to listen for more reasons why they should be afraid of other things that are in no way something you should be afraid of. Why do people keep letting themselves get brainwashed like this? I cannot even fathom it.
And yet I love how they play the victim of an oppressive government that's trying to make my kid autistic. I also want to point this out about Jenny McCarthy. She has breast implants. So breast implants are okay. Vaccinations are bad. Maybe she's backed off a little bit, but then the fact that that she says that she's still anti-vaccine and that they were that her views are, quote, misunderstood is a little weird. So, you know,
she seems to change her tune every time she's in any sort of public speaking mode.
Yeah, she's got a new reality show out. So now she's saying she's not anti-vaccine, but then she is, but then she's not, but then she is. Right now, I think she's making a career choice.
Yeah, she'd rather be employed than be anti-vax, I guess.
She is such a fucking idiot. So what are your final thoughts on this? Do you think the fear-mongering is going to the ridiculous level that we need to actually monitor?
The fear-mongering is crazy, but I think I honestly I have enough hope left in me, even though we've tried damn hard to stamp it out, that most people will not buy into it. Most people, if they're not already required to have vaccinations for whatever it is that they do, understand that vaccinations are not just important, but necessary. And even if they don't, we're going to get laws in the near future because of this fear-mongering anti-vax bullshit. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. But if it does become a big problem, there will be a body count, and that will probably be all it takes.
Since you are vaccinated, where can people find your vaccinated materials?
Yeah, if you want to find me not spreading diseases and still not having autism somehow, you can find me.
She spreads humor, though.
I do, infectiously, over on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And then you can find my other show that I am co-host on, Thespian Talk, over at rtgomer.com. And then my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, over on channelawesome.com and This Week in Geek.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Click on some links, buy some t-shirts, blah, blah, blah. Seriously, buy some t-shirts. They're cool, high-quality shirts. Guys, try not to be stupid. If you are an anti-vaxxer, I would honestly like to hear why you are. I mean, I know we get snarky, but I think, Kat, I'd like to hear why somebody's an anti-vaxxer, and I would take their response seriously.
I'm coming down. What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.